Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Listen, God can move in America, third grade awakening, if we'll quit trying to figure out how to fix it and just fall to our knees and scream at America's mountains of what? And go, grace, grace, grace. And all of a sudden, because we're connecting, I guess, God's just going to lavish his grace upon us and pour out a third grade awakening that's going to overtake us and begin to do some really awesome things. If you missed it, you got to go back on the highlights and check out a program where we shared about the what God said to us during a seven-day fast. A time of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord, his voice, and he just spoke intently. And we have some more things we're going to be sharing about that. We're having it all transcribed now. 4 hours. 4 hours, and that was just, we just cut it off somewhere, of all the things God said to ministers from all around the United States who got together in a meeting to be able to share what God said in our time of fasting and seeking. And listen, God is there. He's just waiting to see if you'll reach out to him, though he's not far from you. He chose the very place that you will live, the times, the seasons, your very address. He's just waiting to see, will you reach out for him, though he's not far from him? And we did. We did just recently in a seven-day time of fasting and prayer and humility, you know, laying our lives down for just to hear from him. We embraced weakness, and watched God do some awesome things. I mean, it's just when you fast and pray, you realize, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be. When I looked in the mirror, I saw that my issue was me. Our flesh just has, it's too loud, it's too noisy.
Yeah.
We keep on trying to satisfy our flesh, you know, and make it feel comfortable or whatever. And he says, that counts for nothing. At the same time, my prayer life was about things that count for everything. And I remember once the Lord was speaking and we're in this dilemma and we're looking at the church and things were going on at that time. And the Lord says, I don't mind giving you whatever you need. He says, but the problem is, you've went into the buffet of the world and you stuffed yourself in the world. You don't have any room for me.
That's right.
I'm not talking about evil things. I'm talking about just useless space taking, time taking things that you're just so full. It's like, you know, you can have you can be hungry as can be and you can sit down at a table and you can have a meal, but then you can be full as can be and somebody can put your best food, your best dessert in front of you and nothing inside of you says, you're going to eat it because you're so full.
Right.
That doesn't define what was put in front of you is not good. It defines that you stuffed yourself so much on whatever that was that you had no room for what was put in front of you anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what the church has done quite predominantly in America, is that we just, you know, God's given us things and we made things take over our life and our stuff and you know, that type of thing. And it's time to start setting those things aside. And we find out now if we've made those things gods in our life, when we set them aside and all of a sudden we start going into dry heaves and, you know, DTs and acting out in our flesh.
Proverbs says that, Proverbs 27:10, he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And that's just it. It's just the plates are just full and full and full and full and full. And it's like, there's no even room for God. There's not room for God.
God is so good, you know. He's so good at that. You know, I got a great wife who's good at shopping and all that. But I open my refrigerator. You got to get this. Mm-hmm. And there's food in there.
Yeah, that's something amazing.
And it's like different kinds of food. Mm. Different kinds of food. And then you go to the grocery store, which I try not to do too much. Cause believe it or not, it's pretty busy. And why? And but you look and it's like, we're so blessed in America. We have so much stuff and things and they got like 55 gallon drums of like macaroni and cheese and stuff. It's like, what are you going to do with that? And I just look and I think, I'm almost in tears thinking, God, I mean, especially go to Sam's or
Costco.
And you're looking and you're just like straight up like a mountain of blessing, a mountain of stuff and things and food and trinkets and vegetables, and it's just amazing. Wow. You're thinking, God, you're just so good to us. You know, they call us the breadbasket of the world, and we're growing so much that we're taking some of it and sticking it in our gas tanks. We have so much food, we decided to throw it in the furnace of our cars and burn it for gas, which you know, I have an opinion about that when people are starving, don't burn it for your gas.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in their bellies and let them burn it for energy. Lord, forgive us. But in the context of that, it's just, you know, wow. Yeah. How can we say, God bless America? How can we say, we should say, God, thank you for blessing America.
Absolutely.
Thank you for blessing America.
Yeah.
If the poorest person in America is richer than 85% of the world, and know that less than 5% of the world's population is in America, so that's a huge number.
Huge.
Like 7 billion people now, they say. That our poorest is richer than 85%.
Mm.
Lord, you've blessed us so much. We're so blessed. And Lord, forgive us for not being grateful. Forgive us for starting our prayers like give me and stuff and things and whining and complaining when we just should have spent the entire time with you of just going, thank you. We should enter your gates with thanksgiving and just go, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for how you blessed me. Lord, help me not to waste the blessing. I remember years ago when I was growing in the Lord and the Lord's revealing himself to me, and I'm still growing in the Lord, but in the knowledge of the Lord, that the telephone rang or something like that, and I think I was a deputy back then, and I reached over and the phone had ring, and I was laying in bed that morning, and I reached, because I was on the other side of the bed, so I reached over to grab the phone, and the voice of the Lord came to me, and he says, you live like a king.
Mm.
That Americans live like kings.
Wow.
They live like kings. We live like kings in America. Think about it. And I have a basic type home. It's not some palace and stuff you see with some things going on, but just the fact that you have a phone, the fact that you had a mattress and a bed and you had covers and that when you could reach over and actually a phone would ring and you could pick it up and talk to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you had a house that your bed was in or an apartment that your bed is in. He said that we live like kings.
Yeah.
And if you understand, if you haven't listened to Josiah on VFN TV or watched it, we're going to be held accountable for that because we are in America. This is a government by and for the people. We are Josiah.
Yeah.
You know, we're the ones that kind of look around and see what's happening in our nation, and we decide before the Lord, based on his word, you know, is it right or wrong? And then we make edicts. We begin to make decisions that when we need new leaders or present leaders, we need to keep them. Is going to run this country the way God would want it run because it is a government by and for the people. And the sad thing about it, now we're actually looking to the people we hired to fix it when they actually should have been looking to us for directions and instructions what to do.
Mm.
And because, you know, that we've asked so long, they just said, just quit turning to them. We're just going to go ahead and take it by the horn and we're going to do this thing. Huh. We're going to transform this thing. And when you go read the Declaration of Independence, when you read the United States Constitution, when you see these 530 some odd people, that's all they are, and we have 300 something million people in America, so right. how can you blame everything on 530 something people that you hired to go and represent you and to get staffs around them and those different things? And it's like, my goodness, you need to listen to Josiah because it will empower you. It'll put the fear of God in you, realizing, oh my goodness, I've been looking at everybody else. I've been looking at the political parties. I've been looking everywhere else, but I should have been doing something. Mm. And when you read about Josiah, you know, Josiah was a king that he was totally wrong until he was right. But when he was right, God said he was the most awesome king that ever lived. So it's not like that we've made so many mistakes and done so many things wrong that we can't be redeemed. And God redeemed Josiah when he found out what the truth was, when he got into the word of God. And right now, you know, the American church is just like Israel at that time because the word of God was hidden. Nobody could get to the word of God. And Josiah was in his 20s when he sent somebody to go clean out the temple. And in the temple is when they found, quote, the Bible, unquote, that kind of, and he found the word of God. Mm-hmm. And up until that point, they had no word.
Mm.
And that's the way it is right now. According to George Barna, 82% of the church has no word. Has no word. They're not in the word. Mm-hmm. But realize the moment you get in the word, you can be like Josiah. Because once he had the secretary read to him the word, he was like, oh my goodness, we are wrong.
See, it's not until you get in the truth of God do you find out if you're living a lie before God. And so a lot of people avoid the word of God and just tell themselves that I'm living right before God. But the thing about it is you're going to answer at the judgment seat of Christ forever how you lived your life. If you chose not to know the ways of God and claim to know them, you'll find out at the throne. But then again, you can begin to read the word and find out, you know what? I'm going to repent. And immediately Josiah, when he got the word of God, when he broke the statistics of George Barna, if you would, and said, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read it and ask God to speak to me. And if something in my life is not right, I'm going to repent. I'm going to repent. And that's what he did. And he had, not only did he repent, he had everybody repent. He started, because he's the king. He could actually say, you know, tear down this high place, destroy this Asherah pole, tear down that Baal stuff, tear down these idols. And we in America, we're just like that. We're actually, it's a government by and for the people. This whole thing in America is you are a king. I mean, you can actually vote. That's what happened. The reason why these 530 elected officials got into office in Washington, D.C. is because we elected them. They're not our fault. We're their fault. You know, we're the king. Maybe we just kind of gave up our duties and just said, whatever. Maybe they'll get something for me. Instead of saying, God's going to hold me accountable for who I put there. And so Josiah can make these huge decisions. And you can hear, you can go to VFNTV and watch this. It is a now word for America, and it will empower you. Because we as Americans, that we have a vote, you know, we have a constitutional right to vote. We have a constitutional right to be able to petition the government because they're working for us. We're not working for them. Mm-hmm. And we can sit down with them no matter how they act. And believe me, you'd be surprised sometimes, like, oh, let me go back and read my constitution again. Maybe I misread that or something. and God knows that. So if we bury our heads in the sand of denial and to say, well, God's not going to hold me accountable for this, realize what happened after Josiah was when Josiah, who did what was right, then God says, you know, you're the best king that's ever lived, past or present. And he held back what he was going to do to Israel. But as soon as he passed, this is your life. You can change. You can be a Josiah in America. You can rise up and say, you know what? We're going to do what is right. We're accountable before God. This is a government by the people, for the people. I am responsible for my vote. I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to pray. I'm going to abide with God. And I'm going to begin to pull a lever for people who have the integrity, who will do what's right according to our founding fathers and before God. And maybe God will just, you know, turn our generation and spare America. But as soon as Josiah died, you know, his son didn't walk like he walked. He didn't care what God had said.
Right.
And immediately he went and made a pact with Egypt. And even Egypt changed his name. They changed his name to Jehoiakim. So Egypt named the leader over God's people. Well, guess what? Our president's first speech, international speech, was in Egypt at Cairo University. And I believe that President Obama is God's set man. There's no way that any man's political scheming or ideas or could have done all this. This is just God.
Yeah.
Right.
And God's set man to begin to humble America. And when Jehoiakim got in there, he began to tax and tax and tax and tax and take and tax and take and tax and take to be able to pay Egypt. And so at that point, high taxes came in and the loss of things and stuff. And right now, but since God's people are not in the word, they haven't been Josiah to read the word and find what's going on. They're trying to solve things through their own carnal nature, through human wisdom, not realizing that we got to get in the word and repent. And God will say, maybe you're the most awesome American citizen that ever lived, and that God turns it because you actually did what was right. And so here it is. The world is naming the leader over God's people. And the fact that he spoke there and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to take over Egypt, and now Egyptian people are just freaking out over it now. And it's in great turmoil. He's supplying money. He's supplying weapons. And they're openly wanting to destroy Israel. That realize this, who came after Jehoiakim. Let me tell you who came after Jehoiakim. His name meant, and he was also named by the world, God is just. And realize, if we get what we deserve, it's not going to be good.
No.
It's not going to be good. And but yet you're now on this side of history, you can be Josiah. You can be Josiah and say, wait a minute, what does God's word say? Just let me have it. Just tell me like it. Well, just let me have it. Whatever. What does it say? And immediately those that you have influence over, you begin to say, you know, this is how we're living our marriage. This is how we're living our family. This is how we were doing our workplace. This is how we were operating in the context of our church family. But that is over today. Mm. We are going to serve God. Does it mean that they're going to follow? No. But it means that God's going to honor you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to look and see who's leading your country, your state, your commission, your sheriff, your city council, your school boards, and all these different people that you're, Josiah, are supposed to choose, because you are, America is full of kings. If you're a citizen in America, you're like a king.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a chance to vote. You get one vote. And before God, you know, you want to pull that vote for God, for what's right. And guess what? No matter ever how anybody else votes, God saw you pull that vote. He saw you pull that lever. And you know, step out and begin to share why you're supporting a particular situation, and get other people to go out and meet people, and maybe they want to run for office. I don't know. But just get involved in choosing our leaders, because we're the ones that choose our leaders. We want to know the values they have. What values do they have? Do they value our founding fathers? Do they value the Declaration of Independence? Do they value the United States Constitution? Do they value the Bill of Rights? Do they value these things? And it's okay. Just find out. And if they do, you know, you vote for them and hold their feet to the fire in regards to saying, you know, this is what you said you're going to do. Mm. And now you need to stick to your guns, despite what they tried to get you to change when you went to D.C. And it's just amazing that when you, I encourage you, go to VFN TV at VFNTV.com and watch Josiah. For we are Josiah in America.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it legal to have a Bible study in your house? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a small church, and we're called the municipality to find out about holding a Bible study in our home. And we were told that we could not do that, and that they wanted to redirect us to renting church space in our area.
We've had actually cases on that. I mean, we had a case in Colorado and a couple of other cases where cease and desist orders were actually taken out against people having Bible studies in their home. Illegal prayer meeting is what the citation order said. And we went to federal court on that and won. And in a situation like this, let us get involved in helping you right away. I'm going to get you in touch with our lawyers. You really should not have any problem there. But let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ, and we're going to get you some help.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push Submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that, because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Thanksgiving, being thankful. I mean, think about it. Thanksgiving is something that, you know, we talk about in America, sad to say, once a year, officially. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, as Christians, that we're not even supposed to enter God's presence without thanksgiving.
That's right.
You enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. How many people just show up and just say, give me, I need, want, help? Mm.
So important.
Yeah.
You're right, to enter God's presence with thanksgiving. I mean, if you don't think about the Lord and you're not appreciative for what he's done, how can you really begin to worship him and have a heart that's really after God?
Right.
Mm-hmm. If we're not even giving thanks for what we do have, right?
Exactly.
And it is important, you know, to have this pinnacle moment in the year to be thankful, but that should set the agenda for the rest of our year to be. We can kind of check ourselves once a year going, have I been grateful every day?
Mm-hmm.
Have I been grateful every week? Have I been grateful? Do I show up talking to God? Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you. I mean, think about this, you know, in America, the poorest person in America is richer than 80% of 7 billion folks mm-hmm. on the face of the globe. Mm-hmm. That alone should start off with, you know, thank you, Lord, for your blessing that's been on this nation. Thank you that we can have an exchange of power without any kind of bloodshed. The fact that when political offices change historically in America, that it's a peaceful transition of power. And that's a big thing because many forms of government, it changes because it's violent, you know. In regards to being able to just celebrate the constitutional rights that we have and the Bill of Civil Rights that each of us have that for being in America, being a citizen of America. We have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And those that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, listen, you have eternity to be thankful for. You have forgiveness and mercy and grace. And there's just so much, but how many, I mean, you can move people's heart. If you live a life of gratitude, if you live a life of just amazement, not get familiar with the things. You know, this is always on my mind, these type of things. But the very fact that people take on the occupation of removing the trash and the garbage from the homes of Americans, and they say, this is going to be my career. I want to do this. And I want to keep this place sanitary. I want to keep it clean, and I want to be a part of that. And so you just carry a can out to the street with where stuff piled up in your house or your life, your home, and you put it inside this can, and then he or she will drive by that morning and they'll pick it up and they'll put it in their truck and they'll take it to a landfill or ever how they take it, and to be able to help you stay sanitary. You might not know this or not, because we've been blessed for so long that some of the history in America where unions have gone on strike, and one of them was in the 70s, I believe, that the sanitation department went on strike in New York. And all of a sudden, there was just trash piled everywhere. And there was rats and rodents and the things that these guys, these men and women, are doing for us. They're keeping us healthy. They're keeping us sanitary. They are showing up, you know, once a week or twice a week or whatever. They show up and they take these things, these discarded things, packages and stuff and whatever, and they bring it to a place that they really thought out really well, so that if it leaks or that type of thing, they've lined it with different kinds of material. They have vented things for gases that come off of that trash, and they dispose of it in a very sanitary way so that you are not poisoned.
Yeah.
And one example of that is a privately owned junkyard, I guess you would say, or a dump, that's what it was called. They didn't take care of it. They didn't do it right.
Uh-huh.
And they just abandoned it when it's done. Well, all these paints and stuff was polluted. The waters, when it would rain, it would run into the neighborhoods, and it was just toxic. Oh, wow. And So those governmental leaders had to begin to raise money and a tax base to be able to fix what that businessman did not fix so that people would not get sick and cancer and die. And they did that. They put that together and they took care of that. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, we have so much to be grateful for. I mean, life would be so different without having these many blessings around us. But just for the fact, understand, you don't realize how much garbage, for example, that we create, and we could talk about it for days. There's stats on it. But we have the most garbage probably than anybody in the world. That but just for that alone, understand that when they didn't remove that from the city, what came was rodents and rats and sickness and disease and these different things that you would catch. And they were making a point that they were significant. What we're doing is significant. Yeah. And they realized at some point when you couldn't see the sidewalks anymore, it was just piling and piling and piling. And people couldn't have it in their houses. And so you're used to taking it out of your house and putting it in a can. But you need to be thankful. I mean, all the way to the person, the man or the woman who says, I want to make sure that you stay healthy in your community. I want to be able to remove the trash from your neighborhood, from your home, every single time you put it on the street.
Wow.
And I will do that for you. I will keep you healthy. When you think about your mailman that's bringing mail to you every single day, rain, sleet, or snow, except for maybe Sunday, they're bringing the mail to you. I mean, they don't have to do it. They could do anything. But they're making sure that you can get that letter, that you can get that information, that you can get these things that you need, which we call bills, but the reality is it's an exchange for services, that you're getting power, electrical, whatever, and that they're bringing that to you so you can maintain power in your house and that you can maintain water and that type of thing. I mean, being thankful. I mean, you being thankful in regards to understanding that the ones that keep your water in your community, a lot of people go, yeah, we have an elected board over that. Yeah, we appreciate those guys, and they're the ones that keep our, what we want over that particular aspect of government going well. But the one who's actually in the sewer pipe, the one who's actually changing out the water lines, have you stopped by and just said, thank you? Thank you for the clean water that comes into our house. Thank you for making sure that the sewage, which is even more toxic than the trash, doesn't back up into the homes and the houses and that type of thing. And because that can be really major.
Yeah, very major.
Very major.
Very costly.
But these things happen every day.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be grateful for being thankful. This is about Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, thank you, God, for the ones who check to make sure our waters don't have things in it that would cause us to be sick down to the millionth particle or whatever it is. Or you think about the doctors and the nurses. That if you got sick this one moment, despite the arguments that are going on, the truth is, if you get sick, somebody's going to take care of you. They'll come and they'll check your temperature. They'll check your blood pressure. They'll ask you questions about your health history. They'll begin to try to diagnose what's wrong with you, and they'll try to ease your pain. And that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So much to be thankful for. Or the police or the sheriff's department in your community that are patrolling your streets and keeping you safe. And yeah, you might have crime happening in your streets, but understand this, without them, there'd be a lot more crime.
That's right.
I mean, I could go on for days. We have so much to be thankful for.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, but you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, Rick Joyner and the vision about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world, but listen, you need in your workplace, in your home, Just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way? If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to vfntv.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So much to be thankful for. And here we are, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And I want to challenge you today that when you sit around the table to be thankful, pause for a moment and tell everybody you're going to do this first. Some people can't handle being broadsided with a sudden request of information. Won't bring Pat up with the situation. I need time to think about this, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm drawing a blank. No, because he's very detailed. He wants to think about it in a detailed way. We're not detailed. Mm-mm. We can just talk.
Fly by the seat of your pants. Right.
But meaningfully.
Yes.
And so...
With a purpose.
With a purpose. And with that, today when we sit around this table, we're going to take and tell what we're thankful for. We're not going to be cheesy. We're going to really think about how does life happen? What is God allowing to take place in my life? What is taking place? And for children, I mean, think about this, children, that your parents are allowing you to live there. They're working and bringing food and putting it into the pantry. And you can just go and glean from the pantry and glean from the refrigerator. And that's because God's blessing your home. He's blessing the fruit of the labor of your parents. And so to be thankful, don't think like, oh, you know, I'm thankful for this meal. Think about the whole week or the whole month or the whole year. Your parents said, I want you here. You know, I want you to eat. Whatever you want, go in there and fix you something to eat. That's just the love of a parent, you know. You have your own bed or your own room or something of that nature. Just all these different things to be thankful for. And spouses. I mean, think about your husband or your wife and thinking, you know, all year long, they put up with you, you know. And you had your ups and downs. Years are like long times in relationships. Mm-hmm. And you can focus on the things that you could say that keep you from being grateful, or you can focus on the many things that you can be grateful for. And this is what the Lord says. He says, and you can look that scripture up as we're talking, is that, you know, this is what I want you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever's good, whatever's love is good report. So in your relationship, think about, you know, what you can say, what you're grateful about your relationships with your spouse, with your wife or your husband, about your job. I mean, think about it. They could have hired anybody. I know you're brilliant now that you worked there a while. But the truth was, it was a day that you interviewed for that job, mm-hmm. and you were one amongst others that were going to be hired. And one day they chose you. And they chose you. That's to be grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now to understand, you know, I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for being able to work here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, just think about being thankful and understand God is, this is when he talks about in Romans chapter 1, he says, they failed to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They failed to have gratitude. They were not thankful to God.
They weren't even thankful. They began to take credit for what God was doing in their life. And so God turns over a nation. So we can check ourselves this Thanksgiving about saying, you know what? I want to be grateful. I want to be a grateful person. And when you, God will start giving you a heart, you'll see a garbage man pull up to, or woman pull up to your house, and you'll just, your heart will just pour out for that person, understanding, I am so thankful for them.
Yeah, right.
I am so thankful for them. How can I get to them? And understand, right after Thanksgiving comes a time we celebrate the gift that came to us called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's what the gifts are about. That I'm going to start giving gifts to folks that I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give a card, a gift, you know, something. These folks that are helping my life go better, and this is a blessing to me, I want to acknowledge them. I'm going to say thank you at Thanksgiving, and maybe I'm going to make sure they get a card, me explaining how much they mean to me around Christmas. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We just want to kind of think about the dimensions of what we had to be thankful for. You know, as Christians, we're so grateful to God and to Jesus for dying for our sins that we spend the rest of our life in gratitude by saying, what can I do for you? You did this. What can I do? I have such a limited amount of life left in this vapor to spend eternity with you. I want to serve you. I want to spend my life. I want my life to be Thanksgiving. I want my life to be a thank you. Because Thanksgiving is a great time for us to check ourselves. You know, the world will say, I'm thankful once a year. As Christians, we would say, I need to check myself. How come, have I been thankful? Have I been grateful? Have I acknowledged God, you know, in my life? And we're talking about different aspects of that. And one is you know, thanking God for the Bible, for the Word of God.
Yeah.
Imagine not having the Word. There was the Dark Ages that we talk about when the Word was held captive and they wouldn't, and people began to project their own scriptures out over the land. And amazingly, it had to do against the Jews. The Dark Ages, they began to persecute. Once he pulled the Word away from mankind and the church, they began to listen to the leaders of, quote, the church of that day. And they, the Crusaders came about. But when the Word got loosed again, you know, through those who were willing to, Wycliffe and the others who wrote
Tyndale.
Know, Tyndale House, or Tyndale, you know, Tyndale House is named after. And that they realized, hey, wait a minute, these guys are wrong. They were wrong in what they were saying, that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Jerusalem's the apple of God's eye, and the Jews are, and that they're our brothers. We both serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when the Word was, it helped us not make stupid decisions and helps us understand why we stand with Israel today. It helps us understand, you know, why Christians United for Israel, KUFI.org, we talk about, and you can get to it at VFNTV.com, that we're thankful for KUFI. Yes. We're thankful for John Hagee that says, you know, we're going to stand up in America for Israel. We're thankful for the congressmen and congresswomen and the senators, the representatives and the senators who stand up and say, you know, we're going to stand up for Israel. And that's something to be grateful for and to be thankful for. And another thing to be thankful for is understanding that that God's not going to let anything happen to Israel.
That's right.
That you can thank him in advance that they're going to succeed. And thank him for the salvation of the Jews, because God is going to save those who call upon him.
That's right.
And it's just so many different things to be thankful for on this day. But, you know, what do you think about? You know, whatever you think about, ever how a man thinks he is in his heart, so is he. And the thing about it is, if gratitude doesn't come out of our mouth, if thankfulness doesn't come out of our mouths, then the truth is we have worry and fear and anxiety and doubt and dread in our hearts. And the Word of God says there they were with all that dread, with nothing to dread at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. I mean, what, 70% is reportedly with that in America that we're either overweight or obese. 70%, which means we're eating well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have plenty of food right now. Mm-hmm. And that's something to be grateful about in the context of that. And then we have millions of people who couldn't afford, I don't know, it's 33 million or something, they couldn't afford money for food. So we actually have a program that we give financially, all the taxpayers give finances so that we can help them with their food, in addition to all the food pantries and all the things the churches are doing Also, citizens are making it available through what's called the SNAP program, where people can take this card, the money that Americans gave them, so they could go and buy groceries all month long for their family. It's a beautiful. I mean, what a country.
Yeah.
What a country.
Blessed.
And it makes me think about this, because ever how a man thinks he is, so is he. What does God's word tell us that we're supposed to think about on this Thanksgiving? What?
Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
And wow.
Yeah. Isn't that powerful?
That I mean, is
there's,
so
there's so much to that, because your mind can be focusing in the wrong direction. And oftentimes, if you're not careful, you're going to be focusing on what you don't have instead of focusing your mind and your attention on what you do have and what God has indeed blessed you. And you were talking about all the things that we're thankful for. I was reminded of one of the things we discussed on VFN radio, where when the soldiers reached the concentration camps, how one of the women that were held captive there, when he just gave her a nice glance and a little piece of chocolate.
Yes, a kind look and a piece of chocolate.
She was just, I mean, just so grateful for that. I think she took a little bite and wrapped the rest and put it in her pocket to cherish that.
If we're not grateful, God has a way to motivate us,
yes, you know,
to be grateful. And that would be that. And I was saying that was that situation, but that's what happened with even a kind look. And how many kind looks do we just brush off?
Mm-hmm.
Or how many folks just like, can you spare a kind look?
You know, what
you know,
can I buy a kind
do you
look?
Only
can
have
I buy
four
a
of
kind
them?
Look?
Have you did you use them up in January? But in Romans chapter chapter 1, this is what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He says, for though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking, and that's what you're talking about, think on these things, but their thinking became futile and their hearts, their foolish hearts, were darkened.
Mm.
So when you start having, and it's like, you know, are you grateful for anything?
Yeah.
And when you're grateful and you start thinking about these things, it opens a floodgate, because the more you're really, truly grateful and thankful to God, I mean, think about it in the natural sense. When you go out and you get somebody something, say you get your kid a car, you get your wife a dress or, you know, whatever, or, you know, somebody gets you something and you're just so grateful for that. You're thankful for it.
Mm-hmm.
That the person that sees your gratitude, if it's legitimate, they're like, wow, that felt really good, given that gift. And that parent wants to give that child something else. And this is what the Word of God says. You being evil, know how to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You being evil, know how this thing functions. You being evil, know how to give good gifts. How much does your Heavenly Father know how to give? Think about that. He knows how to give. Because he gives all, he just wants to be acknowledged, and we have so much to be grateful for. Maybe if we'll begin to reboot our gratitude this Thanksgiving and say, you know what, I'm going to practice every day in my journal, because I'm an abider, right? I abide with God. And if you don't, I encourage you to begin to abide with him, because he will empower you to be grateful. He will remind you about these things, to add one line to your daily abiding, you know, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the word, we talk about the where, we talk about the what, but just add one more word, gratitude. What am I grateful for today?
So powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, what am I grateful for today? And it's sometimes, you know, the enemy does serious attacks on us where we have to really hunt and peck, because he's trying to overwhelm us, trying to create something called dread inside of us. But if we'll push through that and say, wait a minute, and all of a sudden we just find one glimpse of light of gratitude, it's just like all these clouds burst forth and the sun barrels down. It's like all that thing was a lot.
That's right.
There I was with all that dread, with nothing to dread at all. So I encourage you, you know, add to just this challenge in the next 12 months, from this Thanksgiving to the next Thanksgiving, to add one more word. You got your word, you got your where, and you got your what. And if you don't know what that means, go to iabide.org and request your free abiding plan today. It'll come right to you, but add another word, add gratitude, the word gratitude, and just think, what am I grateful for today? And you'll be really surprised at the end of the year. You may have 365 things that you were grateful for that year. Well, I just do want to wish everybody a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. We want to thank God Lord God, we're grateful for what you've done in our lives and for mercy and for grace. And we ask you, Lord, touch your church with a heart of gratitude that we will be grateful all year long.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because this is what a lot of people have been saying, you know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that you want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Now they'll have the ability to track every purchase, every sale, every, you know, where you're at, facial recognition. The good thing about me is that my weight varies so much, they won't even, the thing like, this could be him, but his face is differently shaped now than it was before. You know, it's the turkey.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a society with the facial recognition, they sell these, I saw them in the store, these, I guess they had them for a while because it's wintertime, but those ski masks that cover just your eyeballs, just your eyes, they have a whole society
just
wearing
just cover the eyes?
Well, No, I'm sorry. There's an opening just for the eyes. Okay. Are you trying to get back with the K-On? Is that
just trying to help you.
All right. See,
K-On-isms.
It's K-On-isms. Yeah. Anyway, there's a whole opening just for the eyes that your whole face is completely covered. And you think,
my goodness.
The
whole face?
Yeah, except for you know, your ability to see.
Oh, a mask.
A mask, yeah. Ski mask, you know.
A mask.
Whatever.
We call those masks.
A mask, okay. Whatever. Yeah,
ski mask, something like that.
The point here that I'm trying to make.
Is there a point?
Is there a point?
There's a point. It's coming.
Point.
You ready?
Too much K-On.
All that surveillance and facial recognition. You have a whole society walking around with all these masks. It's like,
well, they have a law now. They have a law right now that you cannot wear masks in certain areas.
Really?
Like when I was going, I had a mask on the other day. While I was walking in the bank, I had a mask on.
Someone politely escorted you.
Nobody greeted me. Like, no, I'm messing with you. They have a law that says you can't walk into a bank with a mask on.
Yeah. I think it's a good law.
Do you? Well, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, hey, I think it's, you should never have a mask on. They're going to think it's a great law.
Yeah.
You know what that means in the North? It means your nose is going to freeze, your ears are going to fall off, and your lips are going to be split in 15 locations because you're not going to, the cold wind's going to be hitting you, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's different. I mean, obviously, down south, they don't worry too much about, you know, if somebody's wearing a mask down south,
you're in trouble.
Something is up.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I was thinking, Pat, I was thinking that I was reading in Matthew, as we're coming to the end of our extra hour, I wanted to share real quick with you about how Jesus clearly speaks about what it means to be a disciple. You know, there's a lot of things going on and a lot of teachings, if you will, but I love to read the letters in red. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I love to focus on what Jesus said. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that you can read, but if you haven't mastered the things in red, I think you could start there. I love what Mark Twain says. He says, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the most difficulty and trouble. It's the ones I do understand. You know what I mean? So let's get out of Ezekiel, a little bit out of Revelation, a little bit, and let's just focus on what Jesus says. And Jesus is clear about what it means to be a disciple. He says, you know, what it means to be united with God and to be one with our Lord and Savior. And what it means to accept Jesus into our heart is more than just saying a prayer or believing that he is real, right? It's more than just that, but it's more than even than a sloppy message that says, you know, being preached out there that you can just add Jesus to whatever that you are doing. That it really is all about you, and it really is all about this life, and hey, you can do it and have Jesus too, and you don't have to change. But listen, Jesus has come to take over. He's come to capture our hearts. The word says that we've been bought with a price.
Right.
We're not our own anymore. And so when we receive the Lord, we're saying, Lord, you I am yours and you are mine. And in Matthew 6:24, this is what Jesus is saying clearly to his disciples. He says, listen, if anyone would come after me, let me kind of explain to you how this works. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. if you're going to come after me, let me kind of just lay this out here for you. Right. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, selfish life, I'll add there, will lose it. But whoever loses his life will find it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever loses it for me will find it. And so Jesus clearly tells us three things that we need to do if we're going to, you know, come after him. He says, listen, if you want to be my disciple, the first thing is that we got to deny ourselves.
Right.
And that may seem strange, at least to this American culture, right? That says you can have it your way.
Right.
But following the Lord is about being his disciple. And it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. It's about the Lord. It's about others. You know, Paul said that I am a slave for Christ. I'm a bondservant. You know, going after Jesus just means that I'm going to be like him. John the Baptist said that I must decrease so that he might increase. There's only one king here.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus. And selfishness is about me and mine. And we have to remember that we've been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. That we've been bought by the Lord. Mm. And it's our heart. It's our desire. It's, Lord, take me away. You know, but Paul said, I am a slave of Christ. I am a slave of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing he says, is take up your cross. Die to your ways. Die to the sin. You know, Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. You need to pick up your cross. You need to, someone once said that religion is hanging around the cross and Christianity is getting on the cross.
Right.
And taking up our cross is applying God's word to our everyday life. It's about living the relationship with the Lord inwardly and not trying to have a form of godliness that's denying the power thereof, mm-hmm. and walking like the Pharisees and having an outward appearance, but no real relationship with the Lord. Jim Elliot, a famous missionary, I love Jim Elliot, famous missionary who gave his life on the mission field. He said he is no fool to give what he cannot gain. Let me repeat that again. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
Mm.
I'm going to read that again.
That's powerful.
He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You're not a fool for giving your life. I'm saying you give your life, you're going to have true life. But what we're exchanging is a selfish, narcissistic life that's all about us to have an eternal life with the Lord. And the last thing the Lord tells us as we come to the end of the extra hour is follow me, become a disciple, abide with me, learn of me. Christian means Christ-like, and Ephesians tells us to be imitators of Christ, imitators of God. Let me tell you something. We can do this. We can walk with him. We can deny ourselves, take up our cross, and most of all, we can follow him and be united with the Lord.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation